I'm Marco Werman. You're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. This afternoon, 2 days after the events in Charlottesville, President Trump finally issued a strong condemnation of racism. He also specifically called out neo-Nazis and white supremacist groups as repugnant.
Those who spread violence in the name of bigotry strike at the very core of America. 2 days ago, a young American woman, Heather Heyer, was tragically killed. Her death fills us with grief, and we send her family our thoughts, our prayers, and our love.
That's from the official prepared statement read by the president today. Over the weekend, our own Lydia Jean Cott was in Charlottesville. She headed there to work on a story about the anti-fascism activists who'd gathered there for a counter-protest. But probably like most who went, she didn't quite know what she was getting into.
I was nervous about going to this rally even before. Like, I knew there was a potential for violence, but it was way worse than I imagined.
Lydia Jean is back in Boston now. So, first of all, you okay?
Yeah, a little shaken, but I'm fine.
What happened? Tell us what you saw.
We got there, and we got to the park, and there was a group of white nationalists inside the park. They had flags with Nazi symbols, or white nationalist symbols, shields with Nazi symbols. And that was pretty scary, just like seeing a group of white nationalists. And even scarier, surrounding them was a group of what they look like police, they look like militia, really scary, tough dudes with assault rifles. But when you look closer, you realize they weren't, that wasn't the police. They had MAGA on their badges.
What does that stand for?
Make America Great Again. Mm. So they were Trump people. And then on the other side, there was the counter-protesters. They were holding signs that said things like smash fascism. There's teens coming with sticks, and some people were wearing helmets and riot gear. And things were just so, like, I know this is cliche, but it was so tense. It was like you couldn't really breathe. Like, it felt like something really bad was going to happen.
Mm. As you say, you knew there was a potential for violence to happen. Why were you at the protest in the first place, Lydia Jean?
So I had actually planned this a long time ago. I was working on a story about a loose, it's not even an organization, just a movement called the Antifa, which is short for anti-fascist. And I knew that they were going to be there, so I just wanted to interview a few people.
So you did speak to protesters on both sides. What did they tell you?
After I left the rally, I went back to our hotel room, and I saw a group of people getting into their car outside of the hotel, and they looked like they had been at the rally. They were scruffed up enough. So I ran up, and I asked one if she could talk to me. And she was a Trump supporter, and her name is Deborah Nemeth, and she blamed the Antifa for why violence broke out and for why the rally had to end before it even started.
Antifa wasn't controlled. They were extremely violent. They were throwing, objects. But we expect them to be violent, so.
What do the Antifa people say in response to the charge that they were the ones bringing the violence?
Okay, well, what they say is that they are defending people, that it's the other side that's bringing the violence and making people feel threatened, and they're trying to keep people safe. I met up with this couple in front of their hotel, an Antifa couple, actually, and I spoke to this woman. She's a nurse. Her name's Renee, about why she partakes in this.
Antifa is a tactic to stop the bully, stop the oppressors. And, I mean, like, if the system is not helping, then what do you do at that point? What do you do?
She's saying that someone needs to fight back, and they're doing that.
Right. So fight violence with more violence. Jason Kessler, one of the organizers on the white supremacist side of things of the rally, complained that his group was forced into a very chaotic situation and the police stood down. Did you see police there?
Yes. There was lots of police there.
What were those police doing?
As far as I could see, they were just standing there. I saw lots of counter-protesters come to the police and say, I just got pepper sprayed. I need help. And they didn't respond. I even asked the police for help at one point. I was like, I want to get to safety. Where do I go? And they didn't respond.
We should point out that Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe suggested earlier today on NPR that the Charlottesville police were doing their jobs. They were keeping the peace because, look, there was no property damage. There were no broken windows. So they were doing their job.
I mean, what I saw is there was a certain point where I went to the front of the fighting, and it was scary there. People were throwing stuff. I didn't want to be there. I went to the back down the street, and that's where all the police officers were. So I hung back with them. But I don't know why they weren't up there. I understand, like, I wouldn't want to go up there, but also I'm not a police officer.
So I can tell you're still processing what you saw, Lydia Jean, but do you have any takeaways from this weekend?
Well, one thing that one of the Antifa protesters, his name is John Carrico. He was part of that Antifa couple that I talked to. There's this one thing that he said that, I don't know, I've been kind of thinking about.
I do believe that there's a approaching civil war. Donald Trump can say whatever he wants to, but he's been dog whistling so long, nobody's going to believe him when he asks where the dogs came from.
What he said is, I do believe that we're approaching civil war. Donald Trump has been dog whistling for so long that no one's going to believe him when he says he doesn't know where the dogs came from. And yeah, obviously, like, he's an Antifa protester. He's dramatic. And there's probably not going to be a civil war. But it feels like things are escalating and people are reacting in all sorts of ways. And some ways maybe are stupid and foolish, but I don't know, maybe also brave.
The World's Lydia Jean Cott. We'll be hearing her story about the Antifa later this week.